I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Daryl Gray.
And we are
Create Abundance Now.
We're here to talk with you today, and we have a special guest.
Yeah, we have a very special guest, Donna Sebo. And she's a well-renowned, world-renowned psychic and speaker, author, counselor, and she travels all over the country, and she has her own radio show right here on BBS.
Right here on BBS, right.
And she also has another radio show, I think, in Kent.
I believe so.
And she's going to talk about how she developed her psychic skills and counseling, and she's a great person. If you listen to her radio show every day at...
Every day at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday on bbsradio.com.
Yeah. And what me and Roxanne have been talking about, we're NLP practitioners.
As well as timeline therapy practitioners.
And counselors.
And counselors, which is what Donna is, too.
And musicians, too.
And musicians, singer-songwriters, absolutely.
Yeah.
Artists. Mm-hmm.
So we work with people in helping them develop their dreams, the things that they want to do.
And letting go of things that don't serve them.
Yes, and also what we've been talking about lately since what's been going on in the Middle East.
And the military.
Yeah, is there's a lot of negative emotions that are being created in that war.
In the war that we have with our brethren in the Middle East, as you said.
Yeah. And I was
listening to the world too.
I was listening to NPR radio. It was a couple weeks ago, and they had a fellow on there talking who actually went out and interviewed vets and who had come back from Iraq. And it was interesting because there was a lot of things that was going on. They were going on in their lives, and they needed help, and they weren't getting it from the Veterans Affairs, and they weren't getting it through their mental health in the military. And they were
Veterans Hospital, right.
And they really are seeking out help. So we would like to offer our services to any veterans.
As practitioners and master practitioners of timeline therapy and NLP.
Yeah, so because we can work with that through timeline therapy and help people release a lot of the negative emotions that they hold on to from those type of, you know, very serious situations over there.
That cause post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes, and it creates these significant emotional events for them. And if once they get back, to free themselves from that in order to move on and to create their lives they want back home here.
Truly, they deserve that.
Yes, they do.
They served our country as well.
Yes. So we're going to try to get something together and with that and working with local Washington veterans.
And anybody, actually. If you go to our website at createabundancenow.net, and contact us via our phone numbers or our email on there, we can work with you even over the phone to significantly decrease, if not let go of completely, your post-traumatic stress disorder. We know that this works. We've seen it work.
In fact, the person that trained us, Tad James, who trained us in NLP and timeline therapy, he's actually the creator of timeline therapy.
Yes, he is.
He actually worked with veterans and...
Bosnia,
that's correct.
There we go, sorry.
And had very great success with the veterans there. And
as well as the doctors. The doctors have been in the field healing the wounded.
Yeah, there was actually a doctor he worked with there that was in a serious situation there. And I think it took him a total of 20 minutes working through timeline therapy and releasing all the negative emotions through that technique. And he was able to... let go of those, and he used to have nightmares every night up until that time, and he was able to release all that and actually get sleep.
And he had a sleeping disorder, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he was actually able to get sleep after that and then create what he wanted to later on in the future. So we know it works, and if there's anyone out there that's listening to us that's been through those experiences and needs to work with someone, needs a counselor, we're willing and ready to do that. So just contact us, and if anyone has an organization, because we're also willing to do some voluntary work through
that. Yeah, ultimately we'd love to find a way to get a grant, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that would be great.
It'd be great. I mean, we know that this works. Tad knows that this works, and we really would like to find a way to help more people. And we can work with you on a sliding scale, or if you absolutely have no funding, we could even do the work pro bono, and we're willing to do volunteer work because we do know that this helps. We've seen it. We've experienced it, haven't we, Daryl?
Yes, we have. Experienced it on a personal basis. Going into the program and learning it, that's the main reason why I went into to study NLP, and Tama therapy was my own personal development. It was letting go of things, and I'm still working on that today, and now I have the tools to do that. And then once you're able to release negative emotions and free yourself from that kind of baggage, then you can move ahead, and you're no longer, it gives you a freedom, it gives you an energy to move forward and to be in your present moment, to enjoy that. As a lot of times when you're holding on to things in the past, it creates certain things in your body, actually holds on to, especially in the muscle area and stuff, there's emotions that hold on to certain areas, and sometimes it creates disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really detrimental to your health and also to the way you feel and how you live your life. So it is a good thing to learn, and it's a good thing to do.
And we practice it daily.
Yes, we do.
And we work with other practitioners, too, that we often refer our clients off to when we're too busy, which happens sometimes.
Yes, because everyone has their own special talent. I mean, they can take whatever work they're doing, and that goes with, they learn these certain healing techniques.
Right.
And then they have their specific talents that they also have.
And we do ours.
Yes, and they can specialize in certain areas. Like for me, I am a musician, and so I understand a lot of that. I understand musicians very well.
I'm a healer and have been for 20 years. So I do a lot of healing. I've been doing etheric and physical healing since 1991 or prior to that, almost 20 years now.
Yeah, and she's a great massage therapist, too.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, 16 years, right?
Licensed, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct. As well as the etheric work I've been doing since before then and my whole life, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is going to be...
This is our purpose.
It's our purpose.
This is our purpose.
It is, yeah.
To help people let go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And,
Live the lives that they were born to live.
That's correct. That's correct.
That reminds me of a story.
Oh, yes. Go ahead and tell your
story.
Remember
that story I told? There's a man walking on a very long highway, similar to the one that we saw when we were in Henderson, Nevada this last year. Very long highway. It's very hot. It's the middle of summer in the desert, and he's walking along, and he's getting very, very tired. His hands are getting sore, and he's becoming more and more aware of the pain in his hands and the pain in his feet. And he notices that as he looks down, his hands are gripping onto these bags that he's carrying. And the harder he grips, the more his hands tire, and the more pain he feels in the palms. And he drags these bags and drags them down the road and drags them down the road and drags them down the road. Finally, he sees up ahead a little rest stop with a tree and a shady spot where he can sit down. To his surprise, there's no one sitting under the shade of the tree, and so he drags his bags along and parks himself underneath the tree. Thank goodness. And as he sits in the shade, he sees someone come down the road, a stranger walking down the road. And as the stranger is about to walk by the man, he asks him, "Hey, stranger, can you sit a spell?" The man had been kind of fatigued, and it had been quite some time since he'd seen anybody on the road. And so the stranger said, "Sure, no problem. I'll just have a seat with you." And he sat down next to the man with the bags, and the stranger looked at the man, and the man looked at the stranger. And immediately the man began to think to himself, "There's something different about him. I've never seen a stranger before, but there's just something different about him, and I wonder what it is." And as he looks at him, he begins to form in his mind a question, because he realizes the stranger's got no bags. And the man tries to recall, and he has a difficult time. He can't remember ever seeing anybody on this road who'd never had bags before. Being a little tense and trepidatious about asking the stranger, he finally got the courage up as they were talking, and he said, "Stranger, I've just got to ask you, I couldn't help but notice you've got no bags. Why is that?" And the stranger looked at the man. "Well, you know, I've told this story to many, many people, and not many have listened, but Something tells me you'd like me to explain this to you, and you're going to hear me, aren't you? And the man replied, yes, yes. So tell me, stranger, where are your bags? And the stranger said, you know, I was walking down this road for a long, long spell, many, many years back, and I was just like you. I had a bag for fear, bag for anger, a bag for lost dreams, a bag for unspoken emotions, a bag for beliefs, and a bag for limiting decisions. I had a bag for everything you could imagine. And the man said, yes, I've got all of those bags. I've even got one for insecurity, control. I've got one for discomfort in front of public people speaking in public. I've got all these bags and many more. And the stranger said, yeah. And I kept noticing the pain that developed in my hands as I walked down this road, dragging these bags every day. The man said, yeah, I know about that pain. And the stranger said, you know, I came to a tree similar to this one, and I sat a spell just like you're doing. And he said, it finally occurred to me one day. As I stood up, I began to pick up my bags, and then I thought twice, and I thought, what would happen if I just began to walk down this road, just walking? What would happen? So I started out walking, and I noticed I felt free. I didn't need the bags any longer. My hands felt good. I felt amazing, and I've been flying down this road as free as a bird ever since, happy to look at the sunshine, feeling the road beneath my feet as light as a feather, lighter than air. And the man looked at him, blink, 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 with his eyes, looking down in his bags, blink, blink, blink. Huh, wow, that's a great story. And as the stranger got up, he said, yep, I've got to go now. I'll see you later. And he began to walk away. And the man watched him as he walked, free and easy, no discomfort. And then it occurred to the man, I've got to join him. And as he jumped up, he turned around away from his bags and ran towards the stranger and said, hey, wait, wait for me. And the stranger said, okay. And the man said, stranger, can I walk with you for a while? And the stranger said, you know, I'd like that, mister. Why don't you come along with me? The more I think about that story I just told you, man, the more it makes me think. And the man said, think about what? And the stranger said, it occurs to me I have a purpose in life. And the man says, well, what's that, stranger? Well, it occurs to me, said the stranger, and I think you can help me with this, man. As we walk down this road, we talk to people and we tell them my story, and some are going to listen and some won't. But those that listen, they'll leave their bags behind. And you know, I have a dream for the future. What's that, stranger? Asked the man. I have a dream, said the stranger. And as far as the eye can see, bags everywhere, and free people walking, light as a feather, free as a bird, with no bags. So that's my story, Daryl.
It's a great story.
Thanks.
Very nice.
I kind of got it from Guy Finley's book, Letting Go. It's a great book. And Guy, if you're out there listening, thank you for writing the story. I kind of changed it around a bit. But you make an ultimate great purpose. We can all be served by letting go of our bags.
Yeah, that is correct. That's...
So let's take a little break right now. We're going to bring on our guest, Donna Sebo, and we're going to take this break real quick. Thank you, and we'll see you when we get back.
Donna's here with us. Donna Sebo. Mm-hmm.
Hello, hello.
This is Daryl. And I'm Roxanne.
And we're glad to have you on, Donna. This is great. I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you so much. That's a very gracious thing for you to say. And I'm looking forward to our having a chance to talk and about various things this afternoon. So what have you got in mind that you'd like to discuss?
Okay, I can't hear you that well right now. I don't know if it's the phone or...
Yeah, we have to listen harder.
Okay. Maybe,
okay. Well, maybe they can just tune it up a little bit at the studio.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about... you got started doing your work, a while ago.
Yes, it was actually back in the 70s.
Right.
When I started. And it had been going on for a while, but professionally, that is when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a number of years prior to that that I was made aware of talents that I had. But I really had worked quite hard on my own without being involved with much of anything other than a very small group that was associated with a spiritualist church in Gardena, California.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most wonderful, wonderful group of people. But the woman who was my mentor introduced me to them because she wanted me to have this awareness of thinking. And at that time, goodness, there was a lot of scientific study on a very small level, a curiosity in the Western environment.
Right.
But spiritualism had been around for a long, long time.
Thousands of years, actually.
Yes, it has been for thousands of years,
uh-huh.
Because its roots go back so far that it's almost impossible, really, to get to what may have been considered the original thought or experience relative to this. But mm-hmm. They, as a group in Europe, became very, very strong. And then, of course, due to the Cook sisters and some other situations and a lot of people coming over from England, then there came this tremendous fever of interest. And as with so many things, everything got blown way out of proportion. But there were a number of individuals that I had the privilege of coming to know
mm-hmm.
that were well-schooled and were well-disciplined. And we're happy to share their knowledge and expertise. And as with any environment, whether it's one of becoming a mechanic or a dressmaker, a public speaker, no matter what you get into, you're always going to have what you call your flim-flams.
Oh, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know, they're always going to be there. But when you can meet the people that really are together, the people that really have the skills, the talents, and the abilities, it makes you aware that there's a lot of a certain substance that goes into the development of same. And that substance is the big D word, and that's discipline.
Oh, discipline. I so agree. That is something that we all need with anything that we set out to do in life, is to keep focused and disciplined on our ultimate outcome.
Yeah.
No question about that.
I talk about that a lot
very
in NLP.
Important.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, you were going to say something.
Go ahead.
When you're talking about the spiritualist, I read something somewhere that Abraham Lincoln was he involved with that?
Yes, he was. See, what happens is you have what may be considered mainstream perception, and that's usually motivated by media.
Right.
And so you have all of what I call stage front and appearance, and depending on what is very popular at a moment, then that's what gets all of the good attention or the bad attention, and then all of a sudden it'll evaporate away. Well, the communicating with people on the other side has been around as long as there's been a capacity for the experience, which has been always. There have always been those seers, prophets.
Uh-huh.
Psychics is our modern term, people that have a capacity of cutting through the time curtain to look at a positioning of probabilities with an individual or with a country or with the world, if you will, as it would have been perceived by that said individual.
Mm-hmm.
These are individuals that in so many cultures were highly revered and respected. And it's the same today, even in our Western world. We like to think that it would be different, that we'd become so super intelligent or super whatever, that this is something that is not really sought for or needed. But it is.
It is needed, definitely.
And in Abraham Lincoln's day, there was a woman, and her name is escaping me, but she was a highly respected spiritualist.
What was her name?
I don't know her name.
Oh,
I don't remember her name. Maybe one of your listeners can look it up on the Internet while we're speaking
and
call it in and give it to us. But this is a woman that did not get a whole bunch of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
She was a trance medium, and she performed seances. And she was in the White House more than once. And all of this was done, obviously, very hush-hush, because it was something that would have been considered a gross impropriety by people of the media at that time or anybody that wanted to take up a particular agenda. And Abraham Lincoln was very much what I would describe as, in the terminology of the day, as a God-fearing man.
Mm-hmm.
But he recognized that this was a tool. And he himself had a number of precognitive experiences, was a very, very thoughtful and person in his own way. But this was something that he explored, and apparently during more than one of these experiences, and I think the woman's first name was Mary, I could be wrong, but during the time that he was interacting with this woman, she was not aware of what was coming through her. Our terminology today would be to call her a channeler,
right.
But at that time it was a trance medium. Every generation has its own semantics, and that is often what causes a problem in communication with people and getting ideas across. But that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was made aware of many, many things, and as any wise person will do, they will take the information and then they will put that information into a context that they will work with.
Right.
So, yes, that was very much in his thinking and in his environment, and he used it as a tool.
Mm, that's amazing. And you have a different word for yourself. I was noticing online, you call it mind communication?
No, I call myself a mental practitioner.
Mental practitioner, thank you.
Yes,
thank you. Thank
I call myself a mental practitioner.
I like that.
Well, I chose that so many years ago because I do not put myself in a box.
In
and
a box, good for you.
People will ask, how do you do this? What are you doing? And it encapsulates so many different levels. You can hear, you can feel, you can see, you can use all of your sensory capacities, and it can happen instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, for me, a physiological but a very mental experience. And so that's why I chose to use that terminology, because I feel that it best describes what I do.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mention the you know, honing your skills. You and I spoke earlier, and you had mentioned that you knew about NLP, which is what Daryl and I practice and are master practitioners and trainers of NLP.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And you had studied it at one time?
Yes.
I must attest to, I've always been, you know, very psychic or intuitive. But once I did my first level of NLP training, I noticed my abilities got stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the idea that neurolinguistic programming teaches one to become aware of the visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory affects going on within us as well as outside of us with the other humans that we are having communication contact with, whether it's actually verbally or non-verbally.
I would agree. And there again, what is happening, and think about the words that you just used.
Neurolinguistic or?
Well, the four descriptions.
Oh, yes. Visual, auditory, kinesthetic,
right.
Olfactory, and gustatory.
Right. Those are five. I said four.
But that's okay.
Five.
A lot of people don't think about the tasting part.
Right. But that's very real.
Very real.
You have used five terms.
Mm-hmm.
That most people would not put into a context
no.
as you have.
Right.
And when it comes to kinesthetic, someone might say, gee, what's that? I've never heard that word before.
That's how it feels to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what you have here is a new language for people to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I've taught classes, mm-hmm. that is something that with anyone that has wanted to develop their own intuitive processes, it is to become aware that you can read about as much as you want, anything and everybody's experiences, but you yourself must take the time to learn your own language.
Absolutely.
And that's what NLP supports. So it's a very complementary factor that enables you to be comfortable in your own skin with what you are experiencing.
Oh, and then, too, as a practitioner, we use it with counseling with our clients. We help them to do the same within themselves. We don't actually create the answers for the clients. They come to their own answers and conclusions with the therapy. Because ultimately, you know as well as I do, you can't change anybody. They have to do the change work on their own.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
And it always comes from within the self.
It certainly does.
It might be stimulated by an external circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the only ones that live inside of our own skins. We're the only ones that know our minds,
mm-hmm.
know our emotions. And so it's that positioning of personal responsibility to take charge of that and not to turn it over to somebody else.
No, cause and effect.
Mm-hmm. But just to take charge so that then we can demonstrate ourselves in the best way we possibly want to do. And I think neuro-linguistic programming
mm-hmm.
is a wonderful tool to empower those people that are willing to explore it. I do not think in and of itself it is the only thing. I think that it is so complementary that I'm sure even with your work, you mm-hmm. fold in other modalities, whatever will be most effective, dependent on who you are dealing with and what their processes are.
Exactly.
Yeah, and using intuition is a big part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so.
Yeah. And we use hypnosis, which anything that deals with coming into the unconscious mind where the behavior starts, so all that type of stuff works with that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, again, whatever modality will work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can use as many as you want. It's not just a modality. It can be a combination.
I truly agree.
Good.
The best therapy treatments I've had with clients have been when I just used the tools, but basically did my own, you know, didn't use a script necessarily, did my own, you know, use my intuition and did what I knew that inside myself they needed me to do at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Being
mm-hmm.
present with their experience as well as my own, because that's truly, what you said is what I've been saying for years. We are only having the experience within ourselves. You know, I mean, my experience is totally different from Daryl's and yours and everybody else's.
Correct.
Because
and that's what makes it so difficult.
But also, it kind of makes it a nice life, too.
Well, you'll never get bored because there's always going to be somebody having some experience somewhere that you've never heard of.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And so it is a very good place to be. And with the one thing that I found early on,
mm-hmm.
whenever you gain a level of knowledge, you find out more about what you don't know.
Oh, gosh.
You also realize you are not going to be able to go back to what was in the past because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You are not the same person.
No.
You have changed. The more you are willing to open yourself, the more you are willing to expand your own understanding.
Mm-hmm. And get out of the box.
Well, it's getting out of the box. It might be in the beginning exploring your own box.
Yes.
Finding out where you want to put in a door or a window, or maybe just smash the whole box to smithereens.
That's what I did to mine, actually. I smashed it.
However you do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference. There's no right or wrong way. It's what will work for an individual.
Yeah, and using your imagination like that, that's a great metaphor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the door, the window.
Yeah, some people only like to start with a peephole, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
A peephole.
That's the way I started. But then it gets bigger and bigger, and, you know, eventually you just tear the whole wall down.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you learn when you took Donna's training? Daryl took your training, what, 4 years ago?
Oh, 3 years ago.
Three years ago.
I used to listen to you, Donna, on when you were on the, was it the Sports Channel? Was
Yes, on KKNW.
Yeah, I used to listen to that every day. I used to work at nights, and I'd come off work, and in the mornings I'd turn your show on, and it was so fascinating. And I went to your training. I was 3 years ago at the Renton, I can't remember which hotel there.
Yes, it was the Best Western.
Best Western, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that's where I met Monty Burgess, and who now is doing really well with his psychic work. And he's also a medium and several other things. He works in a lot of different modalities himself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the training was great, and I still have a CD that you had, in which you talk about how you got into that. And maybe we should talk a little bit about that, because it's a very interesting story, how you were attracted to the psychic work.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I like to say the universe hit me in the head with a 2x4, and I was not happy with it at all. You might see I have a wee bit of a streak of stubbornness in me, and my husband would testify it's still there, good and strong.
Oh, there you go. Bless his heart.
Oh, he's a sweetheart. Anyway, I had absolutely no clue about the world of the psychic. Now, I had been raised a Catholic Lutheran, and it was an environment that was not without an understanding about some people that had, you know, that were saints, that were, had been endowed with certain gifts. And you read these stories or you hear about them, dependent on what your environment is when you're growing up. You can't help but hear things like this.
Oh, sure.
But the term the psychic, per se, was really not in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
There were the fortune tellers that I can remember hearing about in all kinds of conversations and tea leaf readers and, you know, those little things. But it was not that big a deal. But my first real experience evolved, my first involvement into the direction that became my life's work was a very negative, a very, very dark space in my life where I really came very close to letting my mind flip out, and I was in such a depth of emotional grief that I reached out for some help and ended up being told about a woman, her name was Gloria, that she could help me. I was having these dreams that were just terrifying to me. I knew my life was in danger, and I'd been a vivid dreamer ever since I was a child. But my very dearest friend had a sister-in-law who had just gotten started into metaphysics. And she had joined the Rosicrucian group in Northern California and was exploring psychometry and all kinds of interesting things.
Fascinating.
And my very dear friend, Betty, who is still a very dear friend of mine many, many years later, she said, gee, maybe Tiny can give you an insight to this. Because she was the only person I told about these dreams to.
Right.
And I was in a very, very bad marriage. I was in a very, very dark space in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what evolved is that because of Tiny, when I told her about my dreams, she said, good Lord, I've just gotten started in this stuff. I haven't a clue. But I've got this neighbor. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so then she put me in touch with Gloria, and it was a very, very stormy, stormy night. Was pouring rain.
In California?
Southern California. I was born and raised there. I ended up calling the woman. And I can remember when I was dialing the number, I was icy cold. I was shivering with fear because I had crossed a barrier that had been established in my mind. The barrier was never ask for help. This is a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
But I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember so clearly her answering the phone, and my words to her exactly were, Gloria, you do not know me. I was referred to you by your next-door neighbor, Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
I am having these horrible nightmares. I need help. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning. So she took apart the dreams I was having. She took them apart in segments. And she explained to me what they meant. She didn't ask me, but just a couple of questions regarding certain colors and whether something was bright or something was dark. You know, those were very simplistic questions, and I responded. And the dreams that I had thought were horrific nightmares were actually prophetic dreams that were telling me about a phenomenal shift in my life, and that I was totally protected, and that I was going to make the change. And though other people didn't want me to make the change,
of course not,
I would do it in spite of them.
You bet.
And I was crossing into a whole new country of experience.
Oh, yeah.
When we finished on that phone, I was warm. I was no longer cold because I wasn't afraid. I said, this all makes sense. This is clear. And so that made me aware that I needed to find out more. I do not recall the first time I met her. I honestly do not remember how that came about. But there was a year and a half where she mentored me before she passed away. And she passed her mantle on to me. Because when she would talk to me, she said, I have never met anyone that knows what you know. I have never had anyone that I could communicate so effectively and well with. You have all of the attributes to accomplish what I will not be able to accomplish.
Wow.
I will not, in this lifetime, be able to do what you're doing.
Wow.
And when she died, that's when I knew. I was at her memorial service. I recognized she had passed the mantle of what she had given me, what she wanted me to accomplish, what she knew I could accomplish. She was a very gifted psychic as well as a professional astrologer, a very, very talented woman. And I feel that my life was so much empowered by her. And she said, this is what you're going to do. This is what you are going to have as your life's work. I said, oh, yeah, right, sure. And I thought she was nuts. I mean, this woman was really loony, as far as I was concerned. I loved her dearly, but clearly, of course, you know, when you're in your 20s, you always know so much.
Oh, you think you do?
Oh, yes, and we have an arrogance when we're in our 20s oh, my goodness.
Some of this it carries onward.
Oh, yes. But in my mature wisdom,
absolutely,
I can really appreciate what she did. And she never tried to dominate. She never tried to force anything on me. What she did was incorporate questioning to create thinking. But it was so easy for me. And then when she introduced me, coming full circle with the spiritualist church, she said, you need to be around different people.
Right.
And so she put me into that environment. And I can remember attending a class one night. There was a marvelous man. He's passed on. His name was Reverend Humble, and he was what I call the old school spiritualist. He was a trance medium. This was a very talented man. His story is absolutely amazing.
Oh, wow.
But this was a man who was towered over 6 feet in height, very powerfully directed, and had a wonderful charisma about himself, and a man of impeccable integrity. And he had these classes, and so I went into the classes, and I'll never forget that first night when I sat in the first class. I knew I had really joined the Looney Tunes special. Because we were
Hey, now, Don, I've been to some of those classes now.
I mean, I thought, these people are really in nuts. Disney has nothing on them. I mean, this was before Disney really, you know, became the hot stuff. And I'm sitting in there, and I had Ben, I placed myself right in the middle of this circle of about 20, 25 people. And he then said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to dim the lights. And I said, oh, I know I'm in with some screwballs now. Because nobody told me this is what typically was done when you were in this, because you wanted to encourage people to go into that state of altered mind state, that's what we would call it, where you're meditating. You're allowing yourself to be a receiver of information. There's no Mickey Mouse stuff about this.
No, of course not.
But this is, you know, I'm in here. Nobody's ever explained this to me. I haven't a clue.
And we all know we can do this, right?
Well, oh, yeah, sure.
We all do know we can do this.
Yes. This is something everybody has a capability
yes.
of. But when I'm sitting in this group, I'm going, this really is weird. So what all he does is say to us, We're going to have a period of meditation. It's going to be quiet. And I want you to focus on a person in the group. And the first thing, whatever comes into your mind, I want you to maintain it in memory. And then after a few moments, I'm going to bring the lights back up. I want you to remember what you experienced. Do not judge it. And then I'll talk to all of you. Well, he did this, and I said, I know. I just know these people are wacko, because I started hearing some of the things that these people were saying.
Okay.
And I had gotten particular information, and then what occurred is that when he gets to me, because I had already determined this is the only time I'm going to be in this group, absolutely no way, this is stupid, this is dumb, I'm not saying a word, I'm just going to pass.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was like somebody had put WD-40 on my jaw hinges.
All of a sudden, he started talking
to me, and I'm going, blah, 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 blah.
There you go.
And I thought, oh, boy, oh, my God. I was sweating. I couldn't believe what I was doing. It's like I was outside of myself looking at me and going, what is this with you? You said you weren't going to do this, and then here you are, and you can't shut up.
Ah.
It was really comical to me when I thought about it later.
I've been there.
And all I got were all of these symbols, and they were very, very clear, and I was single at the time, and there was a very handsome young man that was sitting not too far from me, and as most single women, I sort of zoned in on him. Mm-hmm. And I got this information about this magnificent door that was ornately carved, this spectacular golden doorknob that was on this door. And his hand was on the doorknob,
right.
And I'm watching all of this in my mind, and so I tell Reverend Humble everything that I see, and he very calmly, I didn't know what it meant, and he very calmly looks at the young man and says, you know what, you have a magnificent opportunity that's right in front of you, your hand is on the doorknob, all you have to do is turn the knob, open the door, and it is yours. And the young man just goes, wow, that's awesome. And I looked at this young man like, yeah, right, sure. What in the world do you know? And the young man said, I just went for a job interview today. I have a potential opportunity, and it's up to me to make the choice.
Wow. There you go. That's
an
affirmation.
And the young man said, wow, thank you so much. And I looked at Reverend Humble and I said, oh, you know, maybe this isn't so dumb.
Maybe I'm not so crazy.
So that was the beginning. It's amazing how when you think you know it all, you find out how much you don't know.
Oh, please. I find that out every day.
Right.
You know, I was listening to what you were saying very intensely, and something stuck out when you talked about Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
It was the way that she came into your life. The vibration that she brought into your life at that time, for me, it resonates on a level of healing. She brought you into your own knowledge of yourself, but she also left behind not only a legacy, but a healing that happened within you that brought you to the oneness of who you are now.
Oh, she's a very significant part. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. I would say that when we have the opportunity to cross paths with someone, and if we're fortunate and we're able to break bread with them for a period of time, we're all the more richer for it.
Oh, it's happened to me numerous times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blessed with numerous masters like Gloria that have come into my life for a short period, and I've broken bread with them and learned a great deal. So
mm-hmm.
I can really appreciate
that's wonderful.
And it's been healing,
and they
too.
Come in all sizes, shapes, colors, you name it, you've got it.
Yes, ma'am, and all messages, too. And you have to be, I always tell my clients, you've got to be open to the messages. If you pray or meditate on, you know, asking for the messages to be brought to you, realize that they'll come to you in all shapes, sizes, and forms.
Absolutely.
Not always ones you're comfortable with. I have to state that outright because it's happened before with me.
Oh, it does. There is a reality, as I perceive it, about life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is most people, and I will say most,
mm-hmm.
not all, but most people, will not pay attention unless something is painful.
Exactly.
It is associated with a shock, something that grabs their attention that makes them aware. It's like going from a warm, cozy environment and suddenly somebody transporting you to the middle of Antarctic.
Exactly.
And then you go back.
Mm-hmm.
And it is necessary, and in my belief system, and it's mine, I don't ask anybody else to advocate it, I feel life is very much like a schooling process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we come in to have various experiences, and it's what we do with them. And most of us learn from difficulties. We can learn from kindness.
Absolutely.
But you also will find if you really have good conversations with people, the life-changing moments have frequently come about through a lot of trauma. When you think you have reached an end where there is no place else for you to go.
Oh, yeah. Your story when you were 25,
mm-hmm.
It's funny when I was listening to that, I thought, my God, it's like she's looking inside my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a similar place when I was 25, and it took a lot of pain for me to get past, you know, where I was and to finally move on to where I needed to go. And it actually went on a little longer for me. I think it took me, at least a good 5 or 6 years before I finally got through all of that.
Well, I think it's always an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just like with steel, if you want to find quality steel comes in many grades. If you want to find quality, it has to be put through the process again and again and again. And it's put under a lot of heat. Why? Because it becomes stronger.
Oh, absolutely. Like a diamond. Diamonds are created by pressure
mm-hmm.
on carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the development of the intuitive side.
Mm-hmm.
I've often expressed to people, in and of itself, psychic ability isn't worth 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is that unless, and this is my belief,
of course.
Unless it is something that is usable, unless you can put it into a practical application that empowers people's lives.
That's right.
Who gives a whip?
Exactly. I can't express that more. It's the work that Daryl and I do. We attempt to empower people all of the time. But like you, many of the people when they come to us, well, actually I'm dealing with one right now, they come to us with dis-ease. Because that's when they finally are ready to listen to the inner voice within them say, I'm ready for change. And oftentimes they're not listening. And so their physical form creates a dis-ease within it so that they will finally be able to release what they need to release to be able to use their energy to their potential to heal themselves. And it's unfortunate that that has to happen, but I told somebody the other day who I was working with, you know, this particular dis-ease that you're wrestling with, that you're coping with at this time is actually more of a blessing than you really understand. And she couldn't quite get there at first, and I said, well, the fact of the matter is they bring messages, they bring opportunities for us to love ourselves deeper and greater, and to let go of, as we were talking about earlier, baggage that has not served us in this lifetime. For that, mm-hmm. I would, you know, thank my Creator, because it makes me more of who I am, stronger as the person that I am, and I'm grateful for those opportunities. I've had many obstacles in my life that were painful, and they've done nothing more than to make me who I am today, which is pretty spectacular. Not always, but usually pretty spectacular.
Well, every person has their own journey.
Yes.
And whether it involves a physical illness, whether it involves relationships, whether it involves financial challenges, whatever, there is an understanding if one is willing to be open to it.
Absolutely.
Like I said, many times we get hit over the head with, you know, 5x5s, 100x100 foot, whatever. The universe decides to ship out that day to you. It's calling attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the making of an individual is one of the most complex and one of the most difficult journeys ever taken.
Yes, I can.
What works for one person, what is a solution for one, may be poison for someone else.
Absolutely.
And the route of individuality,
mm-hmm.
to become aware of life, the interconnectedness of everything in life, and yet at the same time, the cellular uniqueness of each essence of the individual,
mm-hmm.
it is extremely important. And when you can come to that understanding that you, and it's easy to say, oh, we're all connected. And you look at some people and say, thanks, but I'll skip that individual over here. I don't really need them in my life. And you may be totally correct. You don't necessarily need certain people in your life. You must, you must discriminate. That's a word that a lot of people don't like to use. It doesn't seem to be politically correct. But I've yet to meet a person yet that doesn't discriminate on one level or another.
Boundaries are a good way to put it, though.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
Which?
Healthy boundaries.
I like the word discrimination. It cuts to the chase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boundaries are fine.
Okay.
Boundaries are, again, another terminology that can be used to give a different picture.
Mm-hmm.
But when we discriminate, it's like we go to the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
You may like scrambled eggs, and I may detest them.
That's true.
I might like beef, and you may gag whenever you smell it.
True.
So it's our choice as individuals to be able to choose what we know that is best for us. But in the process, we may have to experiment to find out why this doesn't work for us or whatever we go through. And illness can be part of that. Illness can empower us or it can defeat us. But for so many people, I know with the interviews that I've done in my 27-plus years of broadcasting, the people that I've met, which literally encompasses millions of individuals, what I have discovered is that there are so many different facets to life that it's easy to sit in judgment, but it's wiser when you listen and you observe and then discern.
Absolutely.
Then look, because many times appearances are very deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing, being in the psychic work, being in the work of mind, that you learn very quickly if you're astute. You cannot get caught up with appearances. If you're going to be one that is going to utilize your talents and skills, you must be acutely aware of everything that's going on around you, but you also at the same time must be detached so that you will be that clear facilitator to the best of your capacity of whatever is meant to come through you to be given to that other individual. Because like myself, I'm only a facilitator. I can't take credit for what comes through me. I have to be able to understand the lingo.
Right.
I have to understand the signature, the symbols, to the best of my capacity, because it works through my system in a particular way. It works through your system in a particular way. It works through Daryl's system in a particular way.
Right.
So we have to become acquainted with that.
Right. And comfortable with it, too. Absolutely. I was looking on your website, Dan. You have another radio show that you do. Is that correct?
No. This is the only one on BBS that
it's
I'm doing at this time. But there are apparently, I don't know what the stations are, apparently there are some stations that have been picking up the programming and playing it.
Right. And
but who they are, I had one that gave me their information, but I don't know about any of the others.
That's fantastic, Donna. You're getting out to so many people, and the things that you're doing, the work that you do opens people's minds, yes?
I would like to feel that it does.
And their hearts?
Very much so. What has always been so important to me is to honor and to respect those people that have been supportive of me throughout the years, especially my mentor and some other very significant people, and to be able to share with others with the directness and the clarity that was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
I find too frequently people will talk in circles. I am much more direct. That's just my persona. It's just who I am.
I appreciate that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. This is what has meant the most to me.
Yes.
So when I do my work, which I have an absolute passion for.
Yes, you do.
And I will for my entire life. What my mentor perceived about me and saw me doing, I am doing. And I know that it will be growing and expanding, and I have no idea through what means or what process will motivate it through different experiences. But I can't worry about that, whether I'm with one person or I'm talking to millions around the world. It doesn't make any difference.
We're just grateful that you spent the time that you did with us today and are willing to work with people like us to help us get ourselves out there so people know more about us and know more about you and the work that we all are doing with individuals as well as groups to heal the world.
Well, I so appreciate being given this opportunity. It's been
thank
a delight. Daryl, I'm so thrilled for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You were able to move forward on your own initiative and to pick up the gauntlet, so to speak, to find your own journey. And I think that's marvelous.
Oh, thank you. And you're an inspiration.
Thank you. Roxanne, it's been a delight. You obviously have a passion for what you do as well.
Yes, ma'am. I'm taking after you, Donna.
Oh, what a nice compliment.
No, you are my model. I am modeling myself after you at this point in my career.
Well, that's a very, very lovely statement to make. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today, Donna.
Thank
it's
you,
my
Donna.
Pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And
wasn't that a great interview? That was so much.
That was great.
Yeah, there's so much more that Donna has to offer too. If you listen to her show on VBS,
please do at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and she'll be on till 4. And next week we have Patrick Beiner joining us again.
Yeah,
and we're going to be talking about core transformation, coaching, and anything that you as callers would like to talk with us all three about.
Yeah,
and
if you
have
feel
any more
free to call in at any moment that
any
we're,
because
we'd like to talk with you live.
We would. And unfortunately, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. As time goes by fast when there's so much interesting things here. I mean, what Donna was saying
is amazing.
Seemed like we should only talk 5 minutes. But
I know. Wasn't it? Oh, Donna, thanks again. Thanks to Don Newsom at BBS
you,
Radio. And all of the supporters out there, BBS does take donations, by the way. And you could join us at our website at createabundancenow.net. We will join you all in 2 weeks at 1 p.m. for our next show. Thank you so much and have
a wonderful day. Wonderful week. And create the great things in your life.
Abundance.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.